Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Matthew chapter 13 is where we're studying this morning. Greg read to you the first portion of this morning in verses 24 through 30. There's a second portion that is found in verse 36 where Jesus then gives an explanation of the parable. And I'll read that portion to you to go alongside. It says, then he left the crowd and went into the house. So in other words, Jesus was teaching, if you remember, by the shore, got into a boat, pushed away, and taught. It seems that when Matthew gathered this material together, he had a reason for kind of skipping around a little bit, but the actual happening, if you will, kind of took place where Jesus gave the parables there on the shore and then went into the house and explained those parables to the disciples. So you kind of have that sort of mixed up here in chapter 13, but if you kind of get that picture in your mind, it can help. So once again, then he left the crowd, went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. In this passage, here Matthew cites another parable. He has kind of grouped these parables together. As I've told you before, we can say pretty assuredly that in Jesus preaching and teaching around throughout Galilee, he would have repeated many of these parables over and over again, even in different places. According to his purpose, he actually does what is called mixing metaphors, or he uses different images, or the same image sometimes to say different things, and sometimes different things, I don't know what I just said, using the same image. You understand what I'm saying? You're way ahead of me. You'll see this kind of unfold here, because if you remember, the seed was the Word of God in the last parable that we studied last week. Today, the seed is human life, both righteous and unrighteous seed, human beings. Forgive me, I'm a bit distracted by all this sound business, okay? Excuse me for just a moment. Okay, look, I'm better now. I just needed to get it out of my system. There we go. All right. The parable of the weeds of Matthew 13 gives us a picture of admixture. The admixture that exists in our world with both believers and unbelievers. I'll show you in a few minutes that I believe that this is a prophetic parable, actually. It exists both in the day of Jesus, it existed in our present day, but it is talking also about a day in the future, in that time of the coming of the Lord. May God grant us a revelation of His Spirit to understand this parable. I say that because Jesus was concerned that those who belonged to Him understood the parables. That's why He took the time when He left the crowds to sit down with the disciples and to explain the parables to them. If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, He wants you to understand this parable. That makes it important. We're living in a world today that I believe is just in incredible confusion. I cited just a few things here and I'll rehearse them before you. Things that were readily recognized as sin are now being possessed as righteousness. That is to say that things that were wrong or sinful, even in the eyes of the world, are today being embraced by the, and I put it in air quotes, the church. That's grievous. When I see the world go berserk, it doesn't surprise me. Because sin causes incredible things to happen to people. I'm actually kind of surprised that wickedness has not gained more ground than what it has. There are still some checks that our society has upon men, even apart from the gospel and the presence of God and everything. I believe personally that it's because the Christians are in this world. It's kind of a buffer or a dike holding back the floods. But you can see that the dikes are beginning to get holes in them and the floodwaters are beginning to pour over the dike when you realize some of the things that are taking place today. My dad passed away in 2001. And I thought the other day, I thought, man, if Dad was here, he would just be going crazy. In the things that are happening today, that were impossible. I mean, I'm not trying to get on anybody's nerves here this morning, but just let me give you one. I mean, to think that marriage would be anything besides one man and one woman. I mean, the absurdity that it would be anything else just boggles the mind. And up until our generation, it was never a question. If you said they got married, the image in Ned Cecil's mind was there would be a man and there would be a woman because they got married. And now we're flipping everything on its head. Okay? So I've already probably offended somebody, but that's what I'm up here for. Practices which were once so disdained that laws prohibited them from being practiced in our society are now being taught to our children and grandchildren in school. It's amazing. You say, well, not in our schools here. I hate to tell you this, but it's coming. It started on the coast and it's worked its way in because even in the schools in Indianapolis, they are compelled to teach incredible things. Things that people would cover their mouths and talk about in days gone by because not just Christians, but everybody. Marital relationships that were held as true from the beginning of times are now perverted with lies. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that we are witnesses of this parable with a spotlight. It's happening around us. It's right here. As you see, both righteousness and unrighteousness growing together in this world. Amazing. And sadly, to my heart, is it's right in the church as well. Amazing. It's the only word I know to use. Incredibly amazing. Isaiah prophesied the words of the Lord in Isaiah 5:20. In verse number 9, he says, "The Lord Almighty has declared in my hearing, woe to those who call evil good and good evil." In verse 24 of that same chapter, he says, "Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw and as dry grass sinks down in the flames, so their roots will decay and their flowers blow away like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord Almighty and spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel." You see, this is so real. This passage of Scripture is so real in the fact that we are living it right now, and everything that he says is coming to pass. It's not just ancient history that we're studying here. This is today and tomorrow. And the next day leading up to the coming of the Lord. And we need to understand that. And in some place in our hearts and in our minds, we need to say amen to it, to understand that this thing is happening. In the simplicity of this picture, I want us to look at it as Jesus arranged it. And I don't know if we have the slide up here or not, but the first picture that he gives us is one of sowing. Do we have that? Hey, there he is. Now, it would be actually right for us to, if we were to turn back the clock, to realize that a right picture of the beginning of all this would be a field with no seed. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was over the waters. That's Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We understand that there were no men. There were no women to begin with. How many know that's true? Okay? God sowed the first seed into this world. He created, 1 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." So he sowed the first seeds. But immediately as God sowed the first seeds, the enemy, his enemy, the devil, began to sow seeds himself into God's seed. Satan deceived and corrupted the seed. You don't have to go very far in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 3, but where you see he sowed lies, he sowed deception, took a little bit of the truth of God, mixed it in with a lie. You had that first temptation, first level of admixture that took place, and God did it in, Satan did it in the first man, Adam and Eve. Instead of choosing the truth of God, they opted for the lie of Satan and they were deceived. You've all heard that story, right? We call it the fall of man. The world became so full of weeds, so full of sin, so full of men. By the sixth chapter of Genesis, it says their hearts were on evil continually. And so the scripture says that God washed the world with water. It was inundated with water. And everyone except for Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, was lifted high in that ark along with a male and female of every animal. So once again, God is purifying the seed, starting over with a man who finds grace. And yet, in Noah and in his family were these seeds of deception of the enemy. So it wasn't very long after God had washed the whole earth that once again man is in the midst of all the admixture. So we see God beginning then to call out individuals. He calls out Abraham, sent him, picked him up, took him, led him to a different land, so that Abraham would have complete dependence upon him. He began to teach man what it was like to serve him. Abraham taught Isaac. Isaac taught Jacob. And out of their seed then grew a people group called Israel. And God loved them in keeping a promise to Abraham. But you see it again, how the enemy comes in, sows seed. God gave them a promised land, and he told those people, he said, go in and cleanse the land. Do not allow anybody to remain. What did they do? They go in, they start camping out among the people, raising up a mixture of seed. So God's people, in among the seeds of humanity without God, and instead of the people of God turning the hearts of the people of the land toward God, what did they do? The people of the land turned the people of God away from God. You can see it in Scripture where God, he sent all the prophets to try to wake the people up and to remind them, you've got to separate. You've got to separate yourself. You cannot be intertwined with the world. The world will overcome you. The images and the evil of the world will rub off onto you. You'll not be the pure people that I have called you to be. I've planted you as a seed. He says it right out. I've planted you as a seed in this land. But he says, I will uproot you. And I'll cast you out of the land if you don't accept the purity that I desire. What did they do? They accepted all the gods, all the traits, all the things of all the people, of all the world that were around them. Instead of worshiping the one true God, they worshiped every other god imaginable. You can read in all of the prophets, both minor and major prophets, how God is calling out to them, separate yourself, separate yourself, separate yourself. I have sown you into this world. I have placed my heart upon you. You are my people. And I am your God. Move away from all the other gods. Move away from all the other foolishness. No, they embraced. Can you imagine, just for a moment, the heart of God in all this? He says, you know, I've sown you like seed into the most glorious place that you can even imagine. I want to protect you. I want to love you. I want to keep you. And what are you doing? You're reaching out and grabbing all the seed that you can and sowing it into your mix. It's amazing. Jesus came, the Son of God. They had killed off all the prophets because they didn't like the message that they were bringing. I mean, let me tell you something. Just some of the things that I have brought out to you here this morning are so unpopular. They are anathema in our society. We could again see the day where they stone the preacher if he gets up and speaks against these things that the Word of God is so clear about. How can that happen? It happens when the ones that God has sown accept admixture and forget the purity that God has called them to be in this world. Jesus came to plant a new kingdom in the hearts of men. Praise His holy name. He transforms them. This is amazing. He transforms men from weeds to something that God is proud to call His own. That is just amazing. So here we have kind of the reverse taking place, if you will, of what happened in the very beginning. Because as I said, in the very beginning, God sowed righteous seed. Adam and Eve, they were perfect. They had no sin in them. And the enemy comes along and he deceives mankind and actually turns the righteous seed into unholy seed. But now, since Jesus came, God sends out his Holy Spirit and he gets into the heart of the unbeliever and begins to show them that there is redemption, there's a change of life. And that's the reason why Jesus said, don't you know, you need to be born again. What? Because if you're not born again, a weed is always a weed. But he says, I've come that you might have life. He said, I want to change you from being a weed to being something that can be harvested. Hallelujah. So he is sowing the Spirit throughout our world, sowing for the glorious chance that someone will be changed into his likeness. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us to be a glorious planting, separate from the weeds of this world. He wants us to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be made new in our lives. Old things are passed away. Isn't that what it says? And all things become new. It's because you cannot be a righteous seed, you cannot be a righteous plant, and a weed. Now, we've got to know this someplace in us. Just go out and look in the garden. There is a difference between the plant that produces a harvest and a weed. If not, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about weeding the garden. You just go out and say, boy, this is all going to be really good when I go by and pick it. Here, honey, let's have some of these sticker bush weeds. We'll have those for dinner. No way. You want green beans. You want corn. You want onions and peppers. You don't want weeds, right? So we understand that in our planting of our gardens. Why can't we understand that in our lives? The enemy, the devil, continues to sow weeds into the world. But at the same time, our Lord is transforming weeds into righteous plants. Praise God. So see, this sowing is, again, verse number 37, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus. He's making righteous plants. Plants that can produce fruit. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. Praise God, Jesus is still changing lives. Anybody in here been changed by the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. Well, then you've got to know, you can't be a weed in a righteous plant. It just won't work. And you also have to realize that not only are we sown, but we grow. Growing. It's a real complex message. Sowing, growing, and harvest. I want it to be as simple as I can possibly make it this morning. This is incredibly simple. God is sowing into this world righteousness, changing lives from weeds to the righteous plant. In the early stages of growth, you can't tell a weed from wheat. They look the same. The word that is used here in this passage is zizania, which is a type of what we would call, in our weed dictionary, bearded darnel. Bearded darnel, which is close to wheat, it's difficult to distinguish from it when the plants are young. Often you cannot tell by the outward appearance the difference between the sons of the kingdom and the sons of the evil one. Especially when they're first transformed. But can I tell you this morning, after they have grown for a while, you should be able to tell the difference. true of wheat and weeds. What is the distinguishing characteristic? Fruit. Fruitfulness. With the bearded darnel, it looks exactly the same until the wheat gets its kernels, and the bearded darnel does not produce any fruit. And then there's a distinction between the fruit-bearing plant of wheat and the darnel, which is just a weed. So it is with men. Until the fruit of righteousness is produced in men and women of the kingdom, they often appear just like the world. But the Lord, you see, He plants us with the intention that we would grow and produce fruit. I think I'm going to keep saying that until I get some amens. The Lord plants us in this world as redeemed men and women with the anticipation that we would grow and produce fruit. The fruit of righteousness. That is the off-product of His righteousness. We are and have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not a righteousness of our own, but a righteousness that is imputed to us because of the sacrifice that He made. We believe and we are transformed into His likeness. But we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, righteous works. In other words, we produce the fruit after our kind. Amen. This is really going to slow down if I have to put in the amens as well. Come on, think about this for a minute. In other words, God is making an investment in this world with the anticipation that it's going to bring Him a harvest. How many of you plant gardens or something of some sort? Yeah. Okay, when you do it, do you just plant things in your garden just for the fun of it? Or do you plant things in your garden in anticipation that at some point they're going to grow into a plant that you can go out and get some green beans and get some peppers and get some onions and get... How many of you that plant gardens, that's your anticipation? You're going to get some fruit out of that harvest. So what if you go out there at a time when the beans are supposed to be on and you walk out there and your garden is nothing but weeds? You're going to say, whoops, I thought I planted beans. I thought I planted corn. I thought I planted over here. I thought I planted some onions over here. I thought I put a row of peppers in here. And this whole field is nothing but weeds. Honey, I got to get the tiller out. And I got to plow this thing under and we got to start over and just hope that there's enough time before harvest that we can get some good vegetables out of this garden. I don't know what happened. What happened in the church where we decided that only some people have to produce a harvest? And the rest, they could just look like the world, smell like the world, taste like the world, and still call themselves the righteous ones. Something happened. Because my Bible talks over and over and over again about fruitfulness. Producing the fruit of righteousness. That is to say, there's got to be something in your life that at some point in your growth cycle shows that there is the life of God in you more than what is in this world. Your plant is going to look different. You are going to look different than the world. I try my best to not stand out. Folk, we need to stand out. Jesus said, we're like a light that is set on a hill which cannot be hid. Matthew 3:8, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, the words of Jesus. What does that mean? That means if you have repented of your sins, then you need to be producing the fruit of that repentance, which means you have turned away from the things that you have repented of. We don't keep on sinning. Yes, we may sin in our lives, but we do not embrace the sin. We embrace the righteousness because we are of a seed of His planting. And He is expecting to see the fruit of that righteousness in our lives. Yes, praise God. His righteousness is imputed to us by His grace. But my friends, let me tell you something this morning. It is not His grace that covers over if fruitlessness. If we're not producing fruit, then we're no different than weeds. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. John 15:16, you did not choose me. I chose you to go and to bear fruit that will last. We are to be producing eternal fruit. That is that our pursuits are more than the stuff of this world, but they are the stuff of God. Now folks, hold on a second. It is valid for us to stop in these moments and to say, what am I producing? I'm doing real good producing the stuff of this world, you know, money and these things. I'm doing real good. I've got me a house, I've got cars, I've got food, I've got all these things, and I'm working hard and I'm producing a lot of money. Those things are all of this world, and they're on a time clock. Sooner or later, they're going to be gone. The fruit that He is looking for is eternal fruit. Things that will last beyond our grave into eternity. What does that look like? That's souls. Laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves cannot break in and steal. It is eternal. Fruitlessness is the characteristic of weeds. We do not plant weeds. They just make their way in, don't they? And there's nothing beneficial about them. Weeds are destructive to fruitful plants. That bearded darnel, they have a very intricate root system. And that root system will grow in and around the roots of the wheat. I want to make a distinction here. It's important to note that the disciples are distinguished from the crowd, not by their understanding of the words of Jesus, but by their persistent seeking of explanations. They come asking, and Jesus shares with them the explanations. You see, I believe some of the fruit that a growing Christian produces are questions. Reaching out to the Word of God and asking questions of the Word and of the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with questions. It is actually the benefit of a believer to ask questions. I can prove it to you through the life of the disciples. But see, when we accept the power of the Holy Spirit, then even that changes in our lives. You see, God is so gracious. He wants to give us His Holy Spirit to teach us how to produce righteous fruit. He says, I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and you will be enabled. I will give you power to be able to produce fruit. I'm not a real gardener. Kind of like my fishing skills. Yeah, Sharon is the gardener in our house. She does quite well, but I'm not. I can plant something and watch it die. But what I have seen is, and farmers do this, and many of you gardeners do this as well, you put nutrients onto the soil that make your plants grow stronger and better. Huh? How many of you fertilize your garden in some way? Thank you very much for participating in the message. Yes, you put the fertilizer on there because you have learned throughout the years that putting the fertilizer on makes the fruit grow bigger and everything. God realized that we couldn't do this on our own. Even with the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ, He realized that we would be just like Israel, that we would go to live among the weeds, and that the weeds would choke us out. And so He said, the only way that they are going to survive, the only way that they're going to be fruitful, is if I send the power of My Holy Spirit to not just be with them, but to be in them. And that way I can speak to them from within, and I can guide them step by step and lead them into truth, and they, in My power, can be fruitful. Growth as righteous seed means that you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. If I say it in this way, the water of the Spirit. It's a dry world out there. And the Lord wants to water you, righteous seed, with His Spirit continually. Let me take you to the third and last picture, and that's harvest. This is a mixture. There's part of this that I despise, and there's part of it that I embrace wholeheartedly. But both parts are true. He says, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Wow. Jesus says it right there. The harvest is the end of the age. Now, because of the sequence of events here, we would have to surmise, because of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4 through 20, we'll have to surmise that what He is talking about is that happening at the end of His thousand-year reign on this earth. Because at that point, the evil is judged, and what remains is the believer. Jesus says that the harvesters are the angels. Again, seems here because of the distinction, because He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? So that's the taking away, if you will, of the church. Praise God! But you see, we're still part of the kingdom. We're still people of the kingdom. We're still righteous seed, even though we're part of the church. And so all of this still applies. Weeds are still in the midst of the church. Satan is careful to make sure that he sows weeds into the midst of the church. Weeds of false and convenient doctrine that causes God's people to be distracted and fruitless. I've been at this long enough that I've seen different waves come through. When I first started out in the 1970s and began to pastor and preach, the first thing that I was fighting against was a doctrine called eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Some of you may have heard of that. This was the wave that was pouring to the church. People say, hey, we can live however we want to live because we have confessed our sins to the Lord. We can live whatever we want to live. I mean, that's like your garden saying, you know, no problem, just fill us full of weeds. Why don't you just sow weeds in among us as well? No, because you can't expect a good harvest if you have a garden full of weeds. You can't expect to live a righteous, fruitful life if your life is full of weeds. Then came along others. Hyperfaith, prosperity doctrine. It never ends. It won't until Jesus comes. It's kind of like, okay, what's next? Right now we're working our way through a hyper-grace movement. I believe in grace. We're saved by grace. But grace is not an excuse for sin. It's true. Sorry. He's looking for a righteous plant. There are plenty of weeds. If He's wanting weeds, He can go anywhere in the world and find weeds. He's looking for righteous plants. People who are producing the fruit of repentance and righteousness in their lives. His righteousness in our lives, our fruit as a result of His righteousness. Verse 41 says, the Son of Man will send out His angels and they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. This means things that cause evil, cause men to stumble, will be pulled up and out of His kingdom and all who do evil. In addition to what we've just read here from the 13th chapter, let me read to you what this looks like. When the 1,000 years are over, Revelation 20, verse 7 says, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number they are like the sand of the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city He loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophets had been thrown. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Let me pause there for a moment and tell you that there is incredible hope right there in that passage. To those people who would say to you, I just don't understand how a loving God could allow such tragic things to happen in our world. Our response to them should be, it is not over yet. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, God is concerned over this world, and He is doing His very best to get righteous seed, to turn weeds into righteous seed. Because He knows, and you and I should know, what will happen to the weeds. When we see the tragedies, when we see these things unfold, when we say, why in the world is God allowing that? Our minds should go right back here. The deceiver of this world, Satan, who is doing his best to kill, to steal, to destroy, is going to get his. It's coming. His appointment is written down here in God's appointment book. It's coming. And you and I need to recognize that. God is not winking concerning these things. He is not taking it lightly that babies are being killed. He's not taking it lightly that kids and people are starving on the other side of the world. He's not taking it lightly that there are people being murdered and everything. That is all as a result of the sin that came into this world. God did not ordain it. Man chose it. And the path of redemption has been set forward by God. A way out has been given by God for all mankind who will believe. But the day has been set. And if you care, you can read about it right there in your very own Bible. The day has been set where Satan, the deceiver, the one who does cause all of this stuff, sin, death, and all of it, he's going to be judged. It's coming. Now, I believe he can see that time's getting short. And then listen to this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who seated on it. Earth and sky fled away from his presence, and there was no more place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell, or Hades, gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, folks, that is as ugly a picture as you could possibly come up with, but it is one that we need to have before us. Because Jesus said it here, the Son of Man will send out His angels, they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil, and they will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You do not want to be a part of that scene. You do not want your loved ones and your friends to be part of that scene. So we need to do everything in our power to sow the seeds of righteousness into this world. The Lord has kept righteous seed in this world so that we would produce fruit. He has sent His Holy Spirit to fill us so that we would produce fruit. What is the fruit? It is the fruit of lives that are changed by the glorious message of the Lord. Just make sure that every single person that is in your world, you know, the sphere of your world, that they know who has redeemed you. You know, you can tell them, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm so good. Because God is so good. And He sent Jesus, who has forgiven me of my sins, and come into my life. And I'm doing everything in my power to produce fruit after that righteousness. There's a lot at stake here this morning. Can you see it? How many of you can see it? There's a lot at stake. There's eternity at stake. There's an eternal choice. But I'm thankful this morning that I can end this on Jesus' note. Because look what He said. He gives this horrible picture of all the weeds, those who do not know Christ, those who have rejected Him, being thrown into the lake of fire. But listen to how He closes this out. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. That goes on, what is the 3rd of November 2019. If you've got ears to hear this, hear it. The righteous will shine in the kingdom of God even as the weeds are being burnt in the fire. Now see, you can deny this. You can put it out of your mind. I'm just not going to think about it. Or you can realize that Jesus gave this to us for us to realize. He set it down in the appointment book. Satan is going to get his. But all those who love Satan and this world will follow him right on into hell. That's gruesome. That's horrible. That's not something that I want to preach. But you see, that's just as real as I can tell you those who are the planting of the Lord, those who are the righteousness of Christ, will shine like the star in the kingdom of God. What a choice. Hey, what a choice. And you know what? Neither God nor this pastor will force you to choose to follow the Lord. My part is to sow seeds of truth. As the other parable that we studied said, plant them in your heart. You get to decide. It's incredible. You know, there's a lot of talk about choice today in our world. You get to make the choice of eternity, of whether you will choose to be the planting of the Lord or weed. You say, well, that's not much of a choice. I want to be the planting of the Lord. Well, then just know this. As you're growing, which He expects growth, there will need to be fruit. Because if there's no fruit, then you're just a weed. Father in heaven, I thank You this morning for the truth of the Word. Painful at times, but also glorious at others. You've given us the full picture. You've shown us Your appointment calendar. You've showed to us what's ahead so that we could make our decisions based upon facts. I pray this morning that there would be a choice made in lives in this room, but not out of fear. I don't think that You have taught us that fear is a good motivator. perfect love casts out fear. But Lord, may we instead choose to follow after you because we realize that that is the eternally fruitful life. Knowing you, loving you, growing in you, and producing righteous fruit. I pray that we would choose to follow you and let you change us from being weeds to being a righteous plant. We know, Lord, that the enemy comes to us as an angel of light, a new revelation, a greater revelation. But help us, O Lord, to seek out the counsel of your word, the full counsel, to find that balanced place where you want us to live. Lest the enemy deceive us as he deceived Adam and Eve with a portion of truth, but a great lie. Help us, O Lord, to demand of ourselves fruitfulness, because it's the difference between us and the weeds. In Jesus' name.